before you, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Brahma is addressed herein as Vibhu and as the personality of Godhead. He is the supreme personality of Godhead's incarnation in the mode of passion in the material world. He is non-different in the representative sense from the supreme personality of Godhead, and therefore the influence of time cannot affect him. The influence of time, which manifests as past, present and future, cannot touch higher personalities like Brahma and other demigods. Sometimes demigods and other sages who have attained such perfection are called Trikalagya. I'll go back to the verse again. The fortunate demigod said, O great one, just see this darkness which you know very well and which is causing us anxieties. Because the influence of time cannot touch you, there's nothing unmanifest before you. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunan Minitam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nivishya Sunya Adi Pashta Dadestane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Shri Gadadhar Shivasagora Bhaktivinda. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, dear devotees, who's got the microphone? Okay. Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Gornitai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So before we start, I have a couple of questions for you. And these questions, well, I'm just wondering if you've got questions, but what do we think fortunate means here? Because there's obviously some anxiety and darkness, but the demigods here are called fortunate. And they're also calling Brahma the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anybody have any thoughts about that? Anyone got the microphone? We don't have one today? Okay, that's all right. Question is, why is it these demigods are called fortunate in this situation where there's darkness? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, they're able to offer prayers. Yes. They're able to approach Brahma. And then the other question was, why did they call Brahma the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it was explained in the purport? Brahma isn't the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, it's Guna Avatar. The devotees are often non-different from the Supreme Lord. So fortunate here means that they've had some Sukriti, and the devotees have had some, they are devotees of the Supreme Lord. They've got Sukriti and they've also got humility to do the right thing when they're overwhelmed. Now, when we're overwhelmed, what happens? Scientifically, it's called the amygdala hijack. The animal propensity comes in. The ego sets in and goes, I'll take charge. I'll take control. But here, these higher beings, they are very conscious that when any of us are overwhelmed, we have a process, and that process is to, there's a process. What do we do? Anybody know? What do we do when we're overwhelmed? Some of us may just say, all right, I'll stay in bed, can't handle the day. Some will say, well, I'll just avoid the whole world. Escape, yeah, escape. Yeah.
Who was that?
Yeah, fight or flight, yeah. Yeah, we get into this anxiety. We can't think straight, can we? Yeah, ask for intelligence by offering prayers, yes. So yes, the reason why these demigods, or in some ways they're godly beings, because remember, they're not in the same category as Indra or Varuna or anything like that. But here, they do three things, dear devotees. They admit they've got anxiety, right? Most of us have to cover it because we think we don't want the world to know. I expose myself that I'm going through a difficult time. In fact, I was sitting on a board of governors the other day, and one of them said the greatest, and we know this globally as well, one of the greatest issues right now affecting young children in schools is anxiety. Children are constantly anxious. I mean, at such a critical time of their lives when they're joyful and they're meant to be happy, children are so anxious that in critical cases, even by the age of 10, 8, 9, 10, 11, what to say for 16 and teenagers, they're talking about taking their lives. They are so anxious they can't cope with the world. The panic attacks come in, and this is happening more and more. So, and they don't know where to go, and they don't know who to speak to. So here, the demigods are very intelligent because they admit what's happening. When we can articulate what's actually happening to us, that's a great sign of intelligence. Then what they do, dear devotees, they approach a higher authority. And by approaching a higher authority, that means that they, at that moment, I can say to myself, I can't think straight, but if I go to a higher authority, particularly in this case, Brahma, Prabhupada says in... we may not be able to, we can't approach Brahma. But Srila Prabhupada talks about Trikalagya, the devotees who can see the past, present and future. So approaching a higher authority, and then we seek the light through the right knowledge rather than reaction. So instead of reacting, we respond with an understanding from higher authority, so to get that clear thinking. So as I said, what makes them fortunate is the difference between the demigods or the devotees who have Sura mentality is that they align to devotion and cosmic order. Right now, the cosmic order is under threat. Okay, there's darkness. We know the background. We know what happened. That Dithi is carrying these two personalities and they haven't even come out. And yet they're causing so much disruption. And we know that because the Bhagavatam describes when calamities happen, the jackals are howling, there are natural disasters, the sun, when the sun isn't present, that means life cannot exist. So you can see the presence of them actually threatening life itself. And therefore, their fortune is their right reflex that, in any situation, if we're feeling anxiety, we have to seek a higher shelter, dear devotees. Now, they admit the disturbance, the samik vigna brisham, that we are anxious. And they're approaching Brahma for clarity. How many of us have actually gone to somebody and said, look, I'm feeling really anxious. Can you please put some light on this? And this is about developing loving, trusting relationships between the devotees and finding somebody with a higher understanding than ourselves to help us through. Now, this is about humility, dear devotees, because if we're not able to do that, it means the ego sets in, ego edging God out. So it's like, forget God. Forget the devotees, I'm going to take shelter of my mind because my mind is my first guru. But my mind is so unpredictable. My mind is not able to give me the right understanding because the mind reverts to fear. And fear means control and it means grasping and often thinking irrationally. Or we start, you know, creating fragments of our, you know, we start creating stories in our mind. So this chapter matches the contrast between what's fortunate and unfortunate, fortunate hearing. And later the Bhagavatam laments that in the unfortunate people who avoid Vaikuntha topics prefer worldly talk. Now, this chapter is about the kingdom of God. But at the moment, we're talking about disturbances. And then all of a sudden, the chapter does a U-turn and it begins to describe the Vaikuntha topics. So the implication for us is that unless we are actually engaging in the qualities and behaviors and the attitudes of the devotees in Vaikuntha, we are very susceptible to falling down and not only just suffering in the darkness, but it's like the blind leading the blind. So now, what are the demigods really saying? They're saying to Brahma, look, you're not bewildered by time in the way we are. In other words, Brahma's consciousness isn't thrown into panic. Yeah? Have you ever met somebody when you go to them and they're not really bewildered because they've been there, done that, seen that? And I think that's why in many cultures, the wisdom of the elders is so appreciated, because some of the things we sweat about and we cry about or we worry about are actually, when we think about later on, so inconsequential. So Brahma isn't thrown into panic. He knows what's going on by the immediate conditions, and the urgency or the fog of uncertainty does not bother him. Now, the mind, when the mind is disturbed, uncertainty is a very difficult place to be. So Srila Prabhupada explains to us in the purport that Brahma is addressed as Vibhu, and even as the personality of Godhead, but in the representative sense. So we have to see this in the right way, because he is the Lord's empowered agent for creation in the mode of passion. Therefore, the influence of time, the past, present and future, does not bewilder higher personalities, unlike conditioned souls like us. So the bhakti nuance is that this doesn't mean Brahma is beyond time absolutely, because we know that even Brahma has a certain period of time, but it's extensively long, but he's not bewildered. And he has a delegated higher vision and stability for empowerment. And Prabhupada safeguards this by saying he's in a representative sense. So what's the devotional takeaway here, dear devotees? What's the devotional takeaway? Any thoughts? Who's got the microphone now? Good. You're all very quiet today. The question is, I've got to remember the question. What's the devotional takeaway? What's the devotional takeaway for us here? Somebody said surrender to Krishna. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Before making any important decision, consult an experienced higher authority.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the mind is pressured now. I must have it now. I must know now, because we're under this time grip. But the Bhagavatam teaches us, don't consult a time-bewildered mind, you know, when it's anxious. We've got to have the answer, need to have it straight. Go to somebody who has steadier sight than us. So there's nothing unmanifest before you, they say to Brahma. Nahi avyaktam. Avyaktam means unmanifest, so it's not clear, it's not visible, it's unknown. The demigods are basically admitting to us, this cause is hidden. To you, it isn't. So this shows the reverent way in which they're addressing Brahma. Prabhupada then explains this. This is how it should be understood, that Brahma is called Bhagavan, and representatively, as we know, he's the incarnation of the universe's administration. So the devotional takeaway here is that when we're anxious, many things feel avyaktam. They feel unclear. They feel tangled. They feel ominous. And bhakti culture teaches us that the hidden is made clear by going to high authorities. Have you ever been in a situation when you think, let's say, for example, in dealings with a person, they're saying all the right things, but something doesn't feel right. The behavior doesn't match up. Or let's say, for example, when we look at social media, it's all beautiful and wonderful, but actually inside we don't know the quiet desperation that people go through, or we're going through ourselves. So the heart of this lesson, is that we have to develop mature devotional reflex. The first thing we do is we admit I'm anxious, and we don't pretend I'm steady. You know, that stiff upper lip thing, that everything is all right, I'm fine. But actually, you're like a duck or a swan. Everything looks lovely, but inside, you know, you're sort of paddling away in frantically. And then, of course, not to speculate. And that's the danger when we start speculating. So what's the personal application for us? First, we say to ourselves that my vision isn't clear. And then we take the step towards asking somebody. And for us as devotees, it's guru, sadhu, and shastra. We do a triangulation. We speak to a guru, a devotee, and we consult shastra. When the three triangulate, we get a very clear understanding that, you know, this is not what my mind is telling me. This is maybe not what my intelligence is telling me, but this is according to shastra. It gives us the right path forward, particularly, dear devotees, when we have to make very difficult decisions. Now, clarity is the shelter. Yeah. So through guru, sadhu, and shastra, we get clarity. And then we stop trusting our anxious minds as our authority. Now, obviously, we've just covered that earlier on, that Brahma is he's an empowered personality with an extraordinary post. Now, it's helpful for us to understand that the influence of time doesn't affect him. What does that mean? Anybody know what that means for Brahma? Why doesn't the influence of time affect him?
So, because anxiety typically occurs when we think about the future as opposed to the past, and the magnificence of Brahma and the qualities that he has as a god, perhaps that's why time cannot touch him.
Yeah. Yeah, a big part of our anxieties are about the past, aren't they, and the future. Mm. And therefore, we're never really in the present. So, yes, he's also got the ability to see what's going to happen, yeah? We don't have the ability to see. I mean, some psychics do, but they may sort of go into the Akashic records, or they may go into the ether and actually see, but they won't see the complete picture. And even Brahma may not even see the complete picture, but to a large extent, he actually does understand what is about to happen. Now, Prabhupada says that there are gradations of clarity. Yeah, some people will have more clarity than others, and we can see that even in the universe. So the Bhagavatam is showing us that the right culture, when lesser beings are shaken, they approach a higher authority. And why does Prabhupada say Trikalagya? So one of the things, dear devotees, is that many devotees, when they're speaking, especially as a guru or you go to a higher authority, they are actually representative of the Supreme Lord, the Supersoul. And so when they're speaking, we should listen very carefully. Because when they're speaking without motivation, they're speaking without any need to influence you. They just simply want to, they can actually reveal the right direction for us. Now, one of the things I wanted to cover here is about the Vaikuntha mentality. You know, sometimes we think that I'm really strong in bhakti and I won't feel darkness, but the Bhagavatam gently corrects this, particularly this chapter, that even the demigods experience darkness and anxiety, yet they're called fortunate because even though we're in a difficult situation, we're in darkness, if we can name what we're going through, approach the higher source, then that in itself is a fortunate or intelligence to be able to overcome. You know, we often, the ego thinks I can sort this out myself. But the reality is that we can't really do life by ourselves. We've got to be able to have the right people or the right devotees and of course our sadhana and our shelter in the shastras. So they did something beautiful. They didn't worship just for their anxiety. They're acting from it. They're speaking from it. They're trying to gain clarity. Now, we know why this happened. We know why this is happening. Because in the material world, we can see that these two brothers, particularly Hiranyaksha, the mentality of somebody in the material world is about exploitation. And we can see that the reason why there's trembling and everything in the universe is they're not just harassing Earth, but they're harassing the whole of the cosmic manifestation. And with Hiranyaksha, his mentality is, I can take what I want, and then what he does is disposes of Mother Earth, and she goes deep into the dark depths of ocean. So whether we're doing it in a small way or in a big way like him, he doesn't care because he thinks that Earth is disposable. He can go off to another planetary system. So the point there is that when we're working from a sense of false ego and entitlement, it not just causes eventual destruction for us, but it disturbances for others. And we can see that later on when Hiranyakashipu then wants to take revenge on the Supreme Lord, what does he say to the Supreme Lord? You prefer the demigods, you're partial to the demigods. But the demigods are following the laws of the cosmic manifestation. But the demon mentality is, I can do whatever I want, and when you stop me, then I don't like you. So we can see that this is the mentality of exploitation. And really, when these disturbances come, some of us can actually feel those disturbances, that we can feel them in our body. I don't know about you, but when my mother, you know, in the old days, my mother and people could actually see what was going on in the sky or in the body, the flickering of a body, and they'd know, okay, something's not right. Even, I gave you the story a few weeks ago of my aunt, you know, making this sweet rice, and the frog jumped in. And for my aunt, the dilemma was, do we throw the milk away? Because even a little drop of milk that used to spill, it was like the end of the earth for my mum. Because these things sometimes demonstrate inauspiciousness. So the devotees of the Lord are really in tune with the environment. They're in tune with, whereas the more materialistic we become, the more insensitive we become to life and our entitlement. So there's a vow that we can take, dear devotees, and that is that when I'm disturbed, I won't be my own authority. Because that's where we want to go. That's where we want to go. We want to say, okay, I'm going to take charge. I can't depend on anyone. And then later on, we move on to that I will hear, and I will chant, and I will seek counsel. And then I protect my bhakti with my dealing of devotees. Because remember, this whole episode happened how? Why? Okay, Diti and Kashyapa, they engaged in an act which could have been a spiritual act, but at the wrong time due to lusty desires. But there's something more to that. What do you think it is? Before that, in Vaikuntha, the whole situation with Jay and Vijay was aparadh towards a devotee. So can you imagine, this all started in the spiritual world just simply by blocking the four Kumaras, because, you know, they, for some reason, a little bit of ego set into the gatekeepers, and they thought, oh, they're just little young children. So don't judge by what you see, particularly in our dealings with devotees, because, you know, the mind is always judging and rejecting. So don't look at an outward appearance of a devotee and think, well, actually, I can get away with, because, you know, the slight bit of aparadh, it was only like blocking. How many times have we been blocked somewhere where somebody says, no, you can't go there, and we just turn around and we go away? But here, they offended. Why did they offend the four Kumaras? Because they stopped them seeing the Lord. When somebody blocks your bhakti, when somebody begins to disturb your spiritual life, that is probably the one thing that devotees will not tolerate, because it's the most prized thing in their life. So, in the end, bhakti isn't powered by force, it's powered by Krishna's compassion. This is why Krishna's created this material universe, because we're so arrogant that we think we want to leave Krishna, but we've got nowhere to go. So he's created this material world. But the problem with the material world for us is that we don't see it as a place of compassion, we see it as a place for it's I, me, mine, and how special I am. Now for us as devotees, dear devotees, please don't think it's happening out there with the demon mentality. It's happening with us in our mentality, in terms of how am I engaged? Am I taking advantage of the devotees for a start, for their good nature? Am I materially motivated in the service that I'm doing because I want some sense of pride or prestige? Just because we start putting on a dhoti and a tilak, it doesn't mean those propensities have gone, dear devotees. In fact, we have to work on them even harder. So I'm going to stop here, but one of the things I wanted to say, that there's hope for all of us. You know, whenever we face darkness, the Lord has given us a way, the Bhagavatam has given us a way, Srila Prabhupada has given us a way, the demigods who turn to Brahma have given us a way, that we turn and have deeper dependence, deeper hearing, and engage in deeper love. And in the Vaikuntha planets, what's wonderful is that the devotees there are constantly glorifying the Supreme Lord. And even the birds stop singing their beautiful songs because they want to hear that glorification. And even the plants, they're conscious of Tulsi Devi. Shri Radha Gokulanda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Gornitai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I think I'll stop here, dear devotees. I'll just read the verse again to you to leave you with a thought, and then maybe we can have a discussion or some questions. So the fortunate demigod said, O great one, just see this darkness, which you know very well and which is causing us anxieties. Because the influence of time cannot touch you, there's nothing unmanifest before you. Any questions, dear devotees? Or insights? Yes.
What does it mean, see the darkness? It doesn't say, like, take it away or explain it. It says, see it. What does that mean?
So, see it means that when there's the tremblings in the universe, the sun's rays are being, the rays are being diminished, the moon's rays are being diminished, the jackals are howling, the seas and the oceans are turbulent. There is something going on between beyond what we can see. It's almost like a psychic supernatural phenomenon that's going on. And they approach Brahma because Brahma can actually see beyond the gross vision. So for us, we often judge knowledge and understanding by what we see, what we hear through perception of our senses. But the higher beings, higher authorities, those devotees who are Trikalagya or Brahma or representatives of the Lord, they can see the subtle aspects. They can see what's going on subtly in the universe. So we think that, you know, our knowledge and our ability to understand things is just by what we see from the body level, because the body is an instrument and we can access knowledge. But they access through higher subtle powers. Does that answer your question, sir? Yeah, it's a very short purport.
Two more. There's no purport at all.
There is a very short purport.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice.
Brahma is addressed herein as Vibhu, yeah, and as the personality of Godhead. He is the supreme personality of Godhead's incarnation in the mode of passion in the material world. So Brahma can see what's happening in the material world. Yeah, he's got greater knowledge. If you create something and you build something, you're going to know it inside out. A clockmaker is going to know that clock inside out. They know the components, they know how it's going to function, and they know how it's going to malfunction. So in terms of Brahma's position, remember, Brahma has made living entities. They're not just the living entities that we see in a gross body. There are subtle living entities as well. So Brahma actually understands the dynamics of the universe, that which is seen and unseen in the universe. And then Prabhupada goes on to say he's non-different in the representative sense from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, those devotees who are deeply united, intimately united with the Lord, know the Lord's mind. They know the Lord reveals knowledge through them and through their heart. And then the influence of time, Prabhupada says, which manifests as past, present, future, cannot touch higher personalities like Brahma. Why? Because they're beyond the material plane. The higher personalities can engage with the Supreme Lord and they understand their position, that I'm a soul and I'm part of the supreme whole. And they're connected to Brahman, actually. You know, they understand the workings of the subtle aspects of the universe, but they're connected to the Paramatma within the heart, and they have a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. So these are the intimate, the dealings that they have with the Supreme Lord, which is why it's revealed to them. They know the mind of God. And then Prabhupada goes on to say, sometimes demigods and great sages who have attained such perfection are called Trikalagya. Srila Prabhupada was that. He understood the past, present and future. Prabhupada already knew before even the temples were built that there were going to be temples, the devotees were going to be chanting, that, you know, and Bhaktivinod Thakur also predicted the future. So here we understand that the devotees of the Lord can see, hear and perceive things that we cannot necessarily perceive through our gross senses. You had a question, and then we'll come to you.
Hare Krishna. So there are sometimes some statements in the Shastras which talk about the lifestyle or some characteristics of the demigods. So how appropriate is it to apply them to Lord Brahma as well? For example, we hear that even the demigods, they undergo birth and death. But in second canto, second chapter, it is said that Lord Brahma, he does not die. He does not undergo death because Brahma's duration of life is the same as the duration of this material cosmos. When Brahma's life ends, he enters into Mahavishnu. And so basically no real death for Brahma or the inhabitants of the planet of Brahmaloka. So how appropriate is it to generalize the statements of demigods to Brahma? Just curious.
I think in this verse, we talked about different gradations of clarity. So we know that even the material world is so complex. It's got so many layers of living entities. For us to even understand the cosmic manifestation, Lord Brahma, the creation, is actually beyond the capacity of the mind. So I would say that it's a very difficult question to answer. But what we do know is that they are all empowered in one way or another, because the super soul, you know, is within their heart, and they have a role and responsibility in the universe. And I think it's based on that. And here, although it says demigods, Deva Uchu, later on in the Bhagavatam, we begin to understand that they are probably higher living beings who are asking this question, and not like Indra. We can even see in the Bhagavatam that Indra gets disturbed. You know, Indra gets into trouble, and then but somehow or another, he always goes back to the Supreme Lord. He asks for forgiveness. He asks for direction. You know, when he did those horrible things, stealing the cows, he then went to Surabhi. So he knows the protocols and processes of how to rectify himself. But in the demoniac mentality, they don't. And I think we just have to try to understand that there are, like, for example, when Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to do the Rajasuya sacrifice, you have to conquer all the 10 directions. In those directions, we're not just talking about the earth, we're talking about higher beings. They all attend. And so what's my point there? That the devotees of the Lords have relationship with the whole universe. That's the difference. In the demoniac mentality, it's about I, me, and my. And so these godly beings, or these higher beings from other planets, they're also devotees of the Lord. They show up. The problem is Duryodhana is envious, because he's thinking, why Yudhishthira? Why not me? I should be the center of attention. Why is he getting so much power now? But that's the mentality. When the exploitative mentality is there, and it could be even in the demigods, you know, because they are operating in the material world in some ways. But we can also see in Vaikuntha that if we misuse our free will, then the ego and the slight bit to exploit comes in. I don't know if I've answered your question, but I think it's all about consciousness and different levels and how they're empowered. Yeah, thank you. Yes. Got 3 minutes left.
Thank you, Mataji, for a very nice class. My question is to do with the purport, where it says, he, talking about Lord Brahma, is non-different in the representative sense from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the influence of time cannot affect him. So I'm a little bit confused with the aspect of, because he's the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is that why time cannot affect him? And if so, then how do we understand that? Would it be the same with the aspect of Guru? Because he's also the representative of Krishna. Sakshat Hari Tvena Samastash. So therefore, this question is like, does time affect him as well?
Yeah, I mean, I would have answered around the guru as well, because when you approach the guru is the direct representative of the supersoul. So therefore, the guru reveals what they need to reveal to you. Often our questions when we go to higher devotees are about the future, and they'll often guide us to the actions that we need to take. So being a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead means he's intimately united with the Lord, and therefore he's not also depending on his own intelligence, he's also connected to the Supreme Lord. When you ask a devotee of the Lord a question, they won't be saying, oh, let me consult my mind. The difference between higher beings, when they surpass past, present, and future, is they go to the source that goes beyond past, present, and future, and that is the Supreme Lord. My dear Lord, in this situation, please guide me. What is the right action, thoughts, words, deeds I need to do? When that comes from the Supersoul or the representative of the Lord, it's coming directly beyond the material world. It's coming from the spiritual. And that's why they're called Trikalagya, because their ability to grasp that knowledge and communicate it to you is beyond past, present, and future. It's because spiritual world, the Supreme Lord, is beyond past, present, and future. It's eternal. So that's, and again, it comes back to why we have to consult Guru Sadhu Shastra. Because that is our way of actually overcoming the past, present, and future. Is that all right?
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you, dear devotees.